you're in the middle is you, and the circles all around you are the elements that, that we really... Oh, you need your glasses. He needs his glasses. are the elements that we as a church want to impart to you. We want to help you along the way to become a disciple of Christ. Disciple is kind of a churchy word that basically means follower or learner. How many of us are learners of Christ? We can always learn more. We never arrive. This morning, I want to talk about get known, about stepping into a relationship. How many people, by show of hands, know more people in this congregation than you did 2 weeks ago? Good, it's starting to work. Excellent. Well, that's the whole purpose, is we believe that relationships are vital to our relationship with Christ. First of all, our relationship with Christ. And then second, our relationship with his body. We need one another to be edified. We need one another to learn, continue to learn and to continue to grow in our faith. And so it's important that we know each other. Part of getting known is also being purposeful with that. Seeing people that maybe you've seen 2 weeks in a row and then going to them and saying, hey, let's have lunch together. Let's have coffee, whatever it might be. That's how we really get to know each other and hear each other's hearts and speak. Lastly, I want to just say that one of the other things that we're able to get known is through his word. Through his word. When we examine scripture, it's like a mirror, and we're able to know ourselves better. Not only are we able to know God better, but we're able to know the condition of our hearts, the things that we need, the things that we're struggling with by opening his word. So let's get known and turn in your Bibles or your mirror to Acts chapter 13. Yes, I said or mirror, because I just said earlier that it's like looking in a mirror. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. I'll just repeat myself two times each thing I say. How's that? Continuing our series, Acts of the Sent Ones. We are all sent into the world, and Luke was able to preserve this incredible historical document called the Book of Acts, that we can look at the early church, when the church first was formed, what they did, how the Holy Spirit moved within them, and we can see it as a pattern. It may not be all commanded. We may not be commanded to do the same exact thing that the early church did, but they are certainly set as a pattern for us. This morning, I want to talk about honoring the word of the Lord. We honor the word of the Lord by doing what it says. We honor the word of the Lord by dedicating a baby. We honor the word of the Lord by having a baptism. And so all of these things are important. And so it's going to be all compiled into the message this morning. So it'll be a little bit different. You'll get a break from me at times, so that'll be cool for you. So let's continue in Acts and start with Acts chapter 13, verse 36. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Last week we began talking through Paul's early sermon. This is the only sermon that we have a documentation of as far as in its entirety, besides his letters. And what he is conveying to the people is he's going through the history of Israel and how it all culminated in Jesus Christ. And he specifically spoke about David. And we talked about David last week, and we talked about how we could serve God's purpose in our own generation. But ultimately, he wasn't trying to just talk about David. He was trying to point to Jesus. And here we see that David and everybody before him, everybody after him, you and I, when we die, we will decay. But Jesus did not decay. Jesus rose from the grave. Verse 38. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Which prophet said, look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. Verse 43. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. Again, this is in Poseidon, Antioch, and it was a group of Jews and Gentiles that were believing God together. They were worshiping together. Verse 44, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." Verse 48 is a key one for us. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. This scripture has arrested me, that when they heard the word of God, they were glad and they honored the word of the Lord. It made me think, how do we honor the word of the Lord? How did the Jews dishonor the word of the Lord? How do I in my life, in the decisions that I have to make, in the people that I have to talk to at work, that I have to talk to in the marketplace, the teachers that we deal with our kids, how do we honor the word of the Lord? Is the word of the Lord just something that is antiquated, something that doesn't apply to our lives any longer? What do you think? No, it still applies then? Okay, so if it still applies, then we should honor it, yes? Okay, so what does that look like? How does that feel? What do we do? I want to talk about several things within that. The first is that we honor God by receiving it, not rejecting it. And by receiving it, it isn't just, I receive the things that feel good. I receive the promises. Yes and amen. We also receive the rebukes. We also receive the things that we open up. And as I said earlier, it's like a mirror and we look into it and our heart is exposed before us. That we don't reject that either. That we accept it. In order to honor God's word, we have to honor it. We have to accept his whole counsel. Look again with me to verse 46. It says, "Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, 'We had to speak the word of God to you first, the Jews. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles.'" A recurring theme in the book of Acts is how mankind responds to the gospel message, responds to the word of God. And it's always polarized. It's always either you accept it or you reject it. And we have to realize that though we may not do what the Jews did here, and they spoke bad of them, they were filled with jealousy, they talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Let's continue to read after verse 48. I'll read verse 48 again. "When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed." Verse 49. "The word of the Lord spread throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Though we may not respond to the gospel or parts of God's word that maybe rubs us the wrong way, maybe we'd like to say, "I believe most of it, but maybe just that small part was maybe translated incorrectly." Have you heard that before? "And therefore, I don't want to receive it." Though we may not be doing like the Jews, where we're inciting riots and things like that, and we think, well, we're not rejecting it. Jesus made it very clear, you're either for me or you're against me. You either accept me or you reject me. There is no in-between. There may be more hostility with some people than others, but before God, it's one and the same. It is polarizing, and we must accept the whole counsel of God. Notice again, verse 48. This is with the Gentiles. Gentiles heard this. They heard, now this is open to you. You get to receive God's holy, glorious word. They were glad and they honored the word of the Lord. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. Other translations say that when the Gentiles heard this, they glorified the word of the Lord. In other words, they raised it up. They glorified God for it. The Message paraphrase renders it like this. They honored God's word by receiving that life. Ultimately, we honor God's word by receiving it. Both spoken word and written word. If it's truly from God, we must receive it. Is receiving just hearing? Is receiving just reading? No, it brings us to our second point. We honor God's word by being doers, not just hearers. Otherwise, it's just cognitive learning. We know more. Maybe we're able to spout off more scriptures, but if we're not doing anything with them, then we're no different than the Pharisees, who knew all scripture, but did not follow it. One of the worst condemnations against the church from outsiders, from atheists, from agnostics, from those who have been a part of the church, now they don't want anything to do with it, is that we're hypocrites. The reason they say we're hypocrites is because, unfortunately, sometimes we're hearers but not doers. James' epistle says this, James 1:22 through 25. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Pretty simple. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. In other words, you're deceived. We're just deceived. Just because we know it, just because we go to church, just because we give our tithes and offerings, just because we take communion, just because, if we're not doing what God's word says, we are actually deceived. We're thinking we're okay, when in fact we're in disobedience. Verse 23, for if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself. You're exposed to the ugliness of your soul, or you're exposed to the obedience that you've grown in. Your life is before you. I think we've all experienced reading the Bible where it leaps off the page, it becomes alive to us, and it speaks to us. I've had people, after a sermon before they go home, they come up and say, oh man, God said this, God said that to me while you were speaking. And quite honestly, I was kind of taken back because I never mentioned anything they were talking about. But it was God's word revealed something in their own heart of something that they needed. I think that's happened to all of us. That or you were just daydreaming and thinking of something else. Verse 24, you see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. If we're just hearers and we don't do what it says to do, then we'll forget what it says to do. And we'll forget that our lives need to be changed. Verse 25, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. It's that simple. It really is a cause and effect here. We also honor God's word by modeling it before our family and others. Some of our kids have come in to take part of this part of the service. You guys want to have a seat? They're coming in for two reasons. Number one, we model before them and we have to continue to keep that before us. Number two, we need more children's workers. They don't have a teacher. By modeling it before our family and our friends, that means the Word of God has to get in us. That means we have to be doers of the word. It has to transform our life. We have to be different for it. Modeling means living it out in front of. So if we model it to our kids, to our family, to our wives, to our husbands, to our coworkers, it's because it's in us. We are living it. We're also called to model it to our children. First and foremost, when we're given children, we're to model it. And I get the honor at this time to ask Jamie and Brandon and Michelle and, of course, baby Sarah to come up. We're going to dedicate her to the Lord. Isn't she a cutie? And you guys are tall. Wow, all of you are. Or do I just feel short? Okay. This is Brandon. This is Jamie Thompson. And their beautiful baby, Sarah. And this is Michelle Rolfe. I knew that. And she is godmother. Godmother, that's it. And we are their family. Here at the Church at Whistling Pines, we do not believe in infant baptism because we believe baptism is by believers only. And so an infant, Sarah cannot make that decision right now to serve the Lord. She can't. We can't make it for her by baptizing her. We can't bestow regeneration or salvation on her. But we do honor God's word by dedicating our babies to the Lord. Psalm 127:3 says that sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a blessing from God. And so we believe that God has given us our children, and it's natural for us to give them back to Him. After all, our children are actually God's children, right? Sarah is actually God's, and you guys are called to be good stewards of her and to lead her in a godly way and to model God's word in front of her so that when she is old enough to make a decision for Christ, she can. And it's not unusual, and they don't have to have a missionary from China come and speak to her, that you guys are her missionary. So it's an honor to do this. I do want to read a couple of scriptures. First one is in 1 Samuel. We have examples in Scripture of babies being dedicated to the Lord. Most notably being that of Jesus when he was born. Mary and Joseph brought him to the temple and dedicated Jesus to the work of the Lord. And also Samuel. I want to read real quick the account of Samuel. If you remember, Hannah, which was Samuel's mother, was barren and she cried out for a baby. Just kept asking God for a baby and was crying in the temple. And God heard her cry. And it says, 1 Samuel Chapter 1, verse 20. In the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." So Sarah needs to live here always. I'm kidding. On Tuesdays and Sundays. Verse 23. "Do what seems best to you," Elkanah, her husband, told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli, who was the priest, she said to him, "As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over to the Lord," and he worshiped the Lord there. Brendan and Jamie's decision to do this morning in front of their family, their church, is the same thing. They are giving Sarah over to the Lord. They're dedicating her to the Lord's service. And we are witnesses. We are a part of that. It says it, you know, the saying says it takes a village to raise a child. And it truly does. We are all at different times going to have a part in Sarah's life. I do want to charge you guys with a word. It's going to be on the screen so you can follow along. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." That's your responsibility. As much as it is to change her, to feed her, to love her, to make sure she gets adequate rest, she has a good environment to grow up in, that she goes to school and learns things, that you are to introduce the Word of God to her. Again, ultimately, it's her decision. By us dedicating her to the Lord right now, it doesn't bestow salvation on her. She's going to have to make that decision. But she's going to have a good foundation to make it on. Amen. Thank you for letting us be a part of this. I want to invite the elders to come up. We're going to pray over you guys. May I hold her? Yay. Do you guys see Brandon holding her around church? Holds her like a football. I thought about doing that, but then I thought against it as well. She's sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fumbled a lot. That's right. Let's pray over her and let's pray over the family.
Your hands this direction. Father, it is such a beautiful thing when we see a life come into this earth. Mother Sarah is just beautiful. She's just beautiful. And watching the faces of all those that come in contact with her, you can tell she already has something special about her. Father, thank you for Brandon and Jamie. I thank you that first and foremost they've dedicated their lives to you. And Father, now they're dedicating the fruit of their union to you, Father. And God, this world is a tough one. It's so many things try to pull us away from you. So, Father, we know that that Sarah is going to need your protection. She's going to need you to continue to guide her, place your angels around her as you've told us through Scripture that you would do. And, Father, through all this, Father, we pray that Brandon and Jamie would just love her unconditionally, yes, no matter what, that they would be there, they would have that sixth sense about everything that's going on, to be able to know what's going on, to be able to help their child in every way. Father, may they mirror, as Pastor Sean just said, mirror you to her so that she sees Jesus every day through not just the love that they show her, but the actions and the way they treat others and the way they walk their lives, Father. So we just pray a special blessing upon this very little, special little princess, for that's what the name Sarah means, and that we want to pray that you would just protect her, watch over her, and Father, raise her into the young woman that you want her to be. And Father, even now you're planning her life. You've got it all planned out.
Yes, you do.
And Father, I know that as my wife and I prayed for our daughters, and we just know that you've prepared a special person for her as well. And God, I just want to ask that all of us as a church also be a part of this, Father, that we support them and as they raise this beautiful daughter, and that we do everything in our power to love her as well and to guide her and to be the support that we're called to be as well. Father, we rejoice. It's a beautiful day. And along with you and all the angels in heaven, Father, we just dedicate this beautiful child to you. And we pray this all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I think I put her to sleep.
Isn't that great? She slept the whole time, too. Yes, she was. Absolutely. We also honor God's word by being disciples and making disciples. Ultimately, we are to be learners. How can we learn unless we're exposed to God's word, unless we're in it? And how can we make others like ourselves disciples if we ourselves are not disciples? In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus is speaking to those who believe in him. That's what it says, that he was speaking to those who believed in him, and this is what he said: if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. He didn't say if you continue to walk around with me. He didn't say if you continue to tell people that you know me, that you identify with me, then you are truly my disciples. He said, if you abide in my word. The word abide means to continue, to dwell, to make that your abode. That you live in the word of God. That the word of God is so important to you that you actually live in it. You're constantly opening it. You're constantly letting it pour over your life. That's how we honor the word of the Lord. And that's how we know the truth. And then that truth sets us free. Again, using the analogy that James uses of looking in a mirror and forgetting what we look like when we go away, if we're not doers of the word, that when the word exposes things to us, that's truth. And that truth can set us free. That truth can change us, can open up prison doors and let the captives go free. Our great commission that Jesus gave before he ascended to the Father in Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 18, says this: Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. That is our charge. Go and make disciples of all the nations. Go and make those who follow Christ, those who learn of Christ, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. How can you do that unless you too are obeying them? How can you obey them unless you too know them? It's really important. It's a cyclical situation where we are changed, then we change other people. And that's truly what it is to be making disciples. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. One of the ways that we obey Scripture is when Scripture tells us to do something, we do it. And so we make disciples, we teach them the things that we know, we teach them to look at the Word of God. We also teach them to baptize one another in the name of Jesus. And we have the privilege to celebrate that this morning as well. Are you guys ready? All right, come on out. It's old, does it? Bye, kids. Thanks for joining us. Do you realize one of the reasons we are baptized is out of obedience, because God's word commands us to be baptized? We can talk about what baptism looks like, what it means, that it is a representation of what happened internally, but sometimes what gets lost is we were commanded to be baptized and to baptize other people, that Jesus himself was obedient and honored God's word by being baptized. So it's just thrilling to be witness to that in our own lives and then in other people's lives. We honor God's word also by spreading his word. If you're still in Acts chapter 13, verse 48 again, says, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. Verse 49, the word of the Lord spread through the whole region. That we honor God's word by spreading his word. That it doesn't just stay with us, that it isn't just a private thing. It's something that we want to share with other people. We do this by sharing our testimony. By getting baptized in front of everyone else shares their testimony. Once I was dead in my sins, now when I come out of the water, I'm clean and alive to a new life. That's sharing your testimony. Sharing your testimony in words at the water cooler at work or wherever it might be, and you're sharing what you came from and where you are now. What you used to think, what you think now, how your mind has been transformed. By sharing our testimony, we honor God's word. And we're doing the things that we're commanded to do, to spread the gospel, to spread God's word. We do this by sharing the hope that we have, by proclaiming the message of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us that we were reconciled to Christ, and then we're given the ministry of reconciliation, that we have the very words of reconciliation in our mouths that we can share with other people, that we implore them to be reunited with God. That all of us outside of Christ and our faith in him were God's enemies. We weren't just, we didn't quite know him yet. We were his enemies, and we were separated because of our sin. And we can be reconciled to him. That's the beautiful, glorious gospel. And that we're told to spread that. And we honor God's word by doing that. You and I have the ministry of reconciliation. Your ministry may look different than mine, but we all have that ministry. We're telling people, we're imploring them on Christ's behalf, as his ambassadors, be reconciled to God. We do that by inviting people to hear the gospel message proclaimed. When you invite people to church, when you invite people to church at Whistling Pines, when you invite them to life group, when you invite them to somewhere else, a concert, wherever it might be, where the gospel is being proclaimed, you are helping spread the word of the Lord, and therefore you're honoring it. Have you looked at it that way before? If you haven't, you need to invite people. And then obviously inviting people into your gospel-soaked life. That, again, you are responding to the word of God and you're allowing and helping other people to respond. Both by what your life now looks like, by the deeds that you do and the words that you say. And then last, we honor God's word by being glad. Notice it says here, verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord. How many people are glad that Jesus has rescued them? How many people are glad by what we read in God's word or what we hear from God's word from those who proclaim it or those who speak a word over our lives, whether it's exhortation or prophecy? How many are glad? When we're glad, when it does something to us, we honor God's word. Could I have the worship team come up? This is what the NASB translates it as. When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. That's honoring him. That's honoring his word when we're glad, when we're rejoicing, when we're worshiping, when we're saying, God, thank you for who you are and what you have done in my life. Thank you for what you've done in my child's life, for what you've done in my husband's life. Thank you for what you've done in my friend's life. We honor the word of the Lord by bringing him worship. With not only with our mouths, not only with song, which we're just about to do, but more importantly, with our life, with our decisions, with our lifestyle. We honor the word of the Lord by glorifying him, by lifting him up. We always need to respond to God's word. We always need to be doers of his word. This morning, there are several different ways that here, right now, in the moment, you can respond to his word. Number one, if you need prayer for anything, but particularly if you've rejected his word up until now, and you're ready to accept his full counsel, there's people who want to pray with you. There's people who want to talk to you. And then also, if you want to take communion, the elements that are there are matzah crackers. They're like crackers, and they represent God's body that was broken for us. The sacrifice that he gave so that we would not have to die a spiritual death. And we dip that in grape juice. The grape juice represents the blood of the new covenant, the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins from Jesus Christ on the cross. Scripture says, as often as we take this, we do show the Lord's death until he returns. Or in other words, we show ourselves even. We show that, God, I'm remembering what you did for me by sending your son. And that's important to me, and I glorify you through that. And then lastly, you can respond to God's word this morning by glorifying him, by worshiping him, by singing to him, because he is worthy. Will you stand with me? Father, we thank you for your word and our desire. Lord, our plea with you, Lord, our life's pilgrimage, Lord, is to honor your word. Lord, help us to honor everything that your word says, Lord. Help us to not just pick and choose. Lord, when we're reading your scripture and it becomes like a mirror, help us to not forget it. Help us, Lord, to be doers of your word, not just hearers of your word. Lord, we glorify you, we love you, and we worship you. In Jesus' name.